This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Wonderful. We're going to continue our theme of life in the Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit has already kind of been, he's already preached a better sermon this morning than I'm about to now. And I kind of feel like a lot of what the Lord wanted to do today, he's done already. But I particularly wanted to talk today about the gift of tongues. Because the gift of tongues, as I understand it and as I experience it, is absolutely integral and central to living a life in the Holy Spirit. And I just want to share a few things that the Bible says about it. And it's an encouragement to those who speak in tongues to not take it for granted. And for those who haven't yet received the gift of tongues, so you know that I believe it is God's intention for every believer to receive the gift of tongues and to use it liberally throughout their days. And I believe that if you haven't yet received that, then God wants to do that for you this morning. Okay, I find no evidence or examples in the scriptures that would dissuade me from that opinion. And I will be sharing some of those scriptures with you this morning. But I don't want to persuade you. I want all of us to be stirred in our faith. And I want all of us to be in a place where we're opening our lives for more of the Holy Spirit. You see, the wonderful thing about the Jesus is the one who gives the Spirit without measure. You know, he gives the Spirit without measure. There is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God is God and therefore is infinite. The only thing that's finite is our capacity. And that's really not a problem because we were always intended to overflow anyway. So the fact that we don't have a big enough capacity is actually an asset because it means that when we receive more of him, it's got to flow out of us. Jesus has promised in John 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and then out of his innermost being or her innermost being will flow the rivers of living water. We're designed to be, as spiritual people, we're designed to be very leaky. Okay, that's God's intention. And we also know that he continually increases our capacity. Yeah, we were talking, we had our Focus Away Day yesterday, and we were talking about discipleship, because that's the next theme we're going to hit in a few weeks' time, and we'll be sitting on that theme for a few months. And one of the ways of thinking about discipleship is what you might call formation, or being shaped by God. But the reason that God shapes something, the reason he forms it, is so that he can fill it. And he's continually shaping us. He is the potter and we are the clay. And if you've ever watched that, I'm old enough to remember when there was a gap between the television programs. They showed a video of a guy making pottery. Anyone else old enough? Roger, thank you. Yes, anyone else old? Yeah, Paul and Pat. See, Chris is saying he's not, but he's less than a year younger than me, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there. Yeah, okay. Maybe Chris didn't watch as much TV as I did. But when a potter makes a pot, you start with this compacted lump of clay, and then the skill of the potter is not only to shape it, but to increase the size of it and increase the capacity of it. And that's an image that the Bible gives us of God shaping our lives. And the reason he wants to increase our capacity is so that he can fill us with more, and that we can be more and more effective at being those who overflow his life into the world. And like I said, I believe that right at the heart of life in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. And first of all, it's the only gift. We'll look at this in 1 Corinthians 14 in a moment. It's the only gift that essentially primarily works on the person who's speaking it. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says that he who speaks in tongues builds himself up. I'm getting really ahead of myself at the moment, but let's first of all have a look at a couple of scriptures. Mark 16, verse 17. This is Mark's version of the Great Commission. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. They will drink deadly poison and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Acts 2, the fulfillment, or the beginning of the fulfillment of this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There's a deliberate play on tongues here. It works the same in Greek as it does in English, that a flame can be called a tongue of fire. And a tongue, as well as being the thing in your mouth, can be the language that you speak from your mouth. And this idea is that this is a language of the Spirit. This is the fire of God. This is the presence of God. And we find when we read through the book of Acts and we read through the epistles of the New Testament, that there are kind of three different ways that tongues seems to work. And explaining this, I think, can sometimes be helpful for us. And the first one is the sign of tongues. And that's what Mark 16 says. These signs. And on the day of Pentecost, it was a sign. And the sign was they spoke in tongues and people from different nations understood what they were saying. That was a miraculous sign that drew people's attention to the gospel that was about to be preached. And that's always the intention of a sign and a wonder. A sign is supposed to point you towards something, and a wonder is supposed to make you go, oh, I wonder what's going on. Okay, so both signs and wonders are about getting your attention. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, and that's what Jesus had promised in Mark 16. It's going to be a sign. Then we find, when we get into some of the epistles, particularly in 1 Corinthians 12, we find that there is a gift, there's like a tandem gift of a message in tongues and an interpretation. And that's, we saw an example of that this morning, because Chris brought a message in tongues and then he also brought the interpretation. Sometimes it's the same person, sometimes it's a different person. But it's a tongue that is supposed to be interpreted to bring a revelation to the church so that the church can be built up. And then there's tongues that is often a synonym with the phrase praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means more than just speaking in tongues, but it certainly includes that. Praying in the Spirit. That is, it's a way of our spirits praying to God direct from deep to deep, from spirit to spirit. And that's really what I want to look at this morning. Although those three things are obviously clearly related, sometimes people come back and say, well, doesn't it say do all speak in tongues? The context there is on the manifestation of spiritual gifts in the church gatherings, and the context is tongues and interpretation. So it's saying, do everyone bring messages in tongues that have to be that can be interpreted? No, not everyone will do that. But in two chapters later, in 1 Corinthians 14, we find that Paul is talking about tongues in seemingly quite a different way. And there's an interesting context in the book of Corinthians. You probably know this if you've read it at all. Most of the book of 1 Corinthians is Paul giving the church there a bit of a slap about all the things they're doing wrong and then telling them how to do them right. One of the things it seems like they were doing wrong is that there was loads and loads of tongues, no interpretation, nobody knew what was going on. And what I love about Paul's response to this is he doesn't do what I think just about every kind of church leader would do today, or every kind of church overseer that would come into a church that was in all kinds of trouble. And they would probably go, right, okay, for the next 3 months, no spiritual gifts. Worship leader is the only one that does anything during the worship. Preacher is the only one that does anything during the preaching. Everyone just sit and kind of go along. Let's kind of clear the decks and let's do that. Paul doesn't do that at all. He comes in and he says, this is what you're doing wrong, but this is how you do it right. And actually 1 Corinthians 14 ends with the phrase, do not forbid speaking in tongues. So even this thing that they were not really getting right, he says, I don't want to stop that, because it is so fundamental to the expression of the life of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to read a few verses of 1 Corinthians 14. We're probably going to read about half of it, I think. Pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, and no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. That's the first thing I think is quite amazing. Isn't that amazing that when you speak in tongues, you are speaking mysteries to God in the Spirit? Now, mysteries are things that God has hidden to be revealed at the right time. And all the great mysteries of Scripture were designed to be revealed through the preaching of the gospel. So Paul often talks about the mysteries. He says, I'm a steward of the mysteries. In fact, the gospel itself, the incarnation, the church, they are all mysteries that are kind of hidden before the time of Jesus, but have now been revealed. But your spirit, isn't this an amazing thing? When you came to Christ and the Holy Spirit came and lived within you, the Holy Spirit, who knows the deepest things of God and searches the depths of God and knows every thought of God, he came and he intermingled with your spirit and brought you to life on the inside. And your spirit began to learn mysteries that your mind knows nothing about. I find that quite remarkable. And when you speak in tongues, Paul says, you are speaking those mysteries back to God. Why would God want us to speak his mysteries back to him? Well, that's what prayer is all about. It's about an agreement between heaven and earth. It's about us on the earth speaking back to God what he has said. And that's why when we pray, we often base it in scripture and the promises of God. But Paul is saying you're doing that in this spiritual language as well. You're speaking mysteries to God. There is an agreement going on between heaven and earth. God is hearing all his wonderful mysteries. And there are some amazing big global mysteries. But I also think there's quite a lot of small, personal, local mysteries of what God has called you to do, what God has called us as a church to do. Things that he's hidden for us to do. God loves to hide things so that we can find them. If you notice that in creation, all the good stuff is hidden. Yeah? You don't just kind of walk around and say, oh, look, there's a big lump of gold. Well, there's some diamonds. You got to dig down in the ground. You got to get in the mud of the rivers. He hides the good stuff because he wants people that will seek him out. And that's kind of a lot of what this is about. Are we prepared to put in the time of getting to know the Holy Spirit and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and learning his ways to discover the treasure that God has got for us? Are we going to put in the effort and the diligence to be those that walk by faith and not by sight? That realize that there's a way of living in this world that doesn't just rely on what my eyes see or what my ears hear. Isaiah 11 tells us that's the anointing that was on Jesus. He doesn't judge by what his eyes see or what his ear hears. What does he judge by? By the anointing of the Spirit that's upon him. How did he know? Well, how could Jesus say, I only do what I see my Father doing? How did he see what the Father was doing? Not with his natural eyes, but with what the Holy Spirit was showing him. And that's how he wants us to live. And your spirit knows mysteries. I find that amazing. And when you speak in tongues, you are speaking those mysteries, which is why it says when the one that speaks in tongues doesn't build the church up because nobody else understands what's going on, but he certainly builds himself up. This is spiritual work going on the inside. This is spiritual exercise. You're adding, if we can use this phrase, spiritual muscle. Yeah? You are strengthening and structuring your inner spiritual life. And this is why I'm utterly convinced, as well as all of the evidence of reading through the book of Acts and all the experiences that the apostles have, this is the one thing that I'm utterly convinced that God wants every one of us to speak in tongues, is because it is a grace that he gives us to build up the spiritual person, our spiritual man, our spiritual woman, that inner life. And he holds back no good thing from those that he loves. And Jesus he talks about the generosity of God as a father, particularly in those that would ask him for the Holy Spirit. That's interesting to me. It's not about stuff. It's not about material things. He says, you know, you fathers who are evil know how to give good gifts. How much more will my Father in heaven give what? The Holy Spirit to those that love. The things of the Spirit. Jesus loves to give us the things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves to give us the inheritance of Christ. This is not blasphemous. I don't think it's blasphemous. This is good. They're a bit like competing grandmas at Christmas. Who can give more? Who can give the better gift? Who can impart more to those that they love? Because Jesus is like, I want to give you the Spirit without measure. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, I want to take everything that Christ has done for you and make it known to you. Isn't that amazing? And so We have this wonderful, wonderful gift that builds us up. Paul says in verse 5, "Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up." And again, I would entirely subscribe to this around when we gather together. We need the word revealed that we can take and we can work with. And of course, again, Paul is bringing correction into a church. But you and I spend most of our time not in church. We spend most of the time out in the world. We spend most of our time out in the mission field. We spend most of our time, from the encouragement from the word that came from Simon and then Chris this morning, we spend most of our time in the presence of God in different places. And God wants us to know the intimacy of his presence with us, and which is why Paul says, "I want you all to speak in tongues. I want you all to speak in tongues," because if you go around speaking in tongues, and he says a little bit later, verse 18, he says, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you." You know, so that they thought they were so great because they were, you know, so many spiritual gifts and so much tongues going on. And he's like, "You know, guys, I do it more than all of you." He said, "How's that possible, Paul?" He says, "Well, you know those 166 hours when you're not in church?" He says, that's really where this is coming in. And I know it's lovely and it's a wonderful thing, and it is a very biblical thing that we sing together in the Spirit when we're in church. That's what I don't want to discourage us from that. I would love to encourage us to do that more and more. But tongues is a gift that really is there to be used through through all 168 hours of the week. It's an immediate reminder of our intimate connection with the Holy Spirit, and it's an engagement with that connection. It's an engagement with that life that's within us. And I'm so challenged by this, because I know there are times when I neglect this gift. There are probably a lot more times where I underestimate it. It's a wonderful thing that God has given to us for our equipping and our fellowship with him. Skip to verse 14, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, let's go to verse 1 Corinthians 13, 14. Let's go to verse 13. Sorry, getting confused. Therefore, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he might interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with my mind also. Now, his context here is what's going on in their meetings. But here's something powerful. There's some powerful spiritual principles going on in here. When you pray in tongues, when you speak in tongues, it says your spirit is praying. First of all, isn't that good to know? Because sometimes we don't know what to pray. We'll talk about that in a little bit in a minute. But your spirit is praying. And it then says, my mind is unfruitful. So here's a funny thing. You've probably heard me say this before, but I know, and I remember back probably when, it would probably have been in about the 80s, when I was a teenager. And you often heard people teach that, when you speak in tongues, you need to try and empty your mind, because your mind is supposed to be unfruitful. So empty your mind. And this is an idea that still comes around, because I remember talking to someone fairly recently, and they said, I really struggle when I speak in tongues, because I know my mind's supposed to be unfruitful, but I keep having these kind of thoughts while I'm speaking in tongues. And I said, well, what kind of thoughts? Are they kind of distractions, or kind of impure thoughts? Is it kind of like some kind of, you know, something the enemy's trying to do to distract you? He says, no, I'll be praying, and I'll suddenly think about, you know, one of my friends, or something that's going on, or just for no reason, my mind will go to a particular person or situation. And I said, okay. Have you ever considered that might be actually the Holy Spirit leading you? Yeah, but I thought my mind was supposed to be unfruitful. No, it's not that your mind is supposed to be unfruitful. It's that your mind is unfruitful. Therefore, if you're having thoughts, they're not coming from your mind. They're coming from the Holy Spirit. When you speak in tongues, you will often find that your attention is taken somewhere. Don't try and, you know, if it's kind of like, you know, if your attention, if it's that you're, you know, if you're like Peter up on the roof and your attention keeps getting taken to food because you're too hungry, maybe go and have a snack, you know, I don't know. But actually, even in that, that's a bad example because God was going to speak to him through the food, wasn't he? That was through the vision that he had. But you know, if there's, you know, your mind has been taken somewhere, that's not the fruit of my mind, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit, he's leading me. I'm actually beginning to come to an understanding of what God is doing. That's why Paul says, what will I do? He says, well, I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll pray with my understanding and I'll sing in the Spirit and I'll sing with my understanding. And the implication there is clearly, if I pray in the Spirit, that's a good way to kick off because the Holy Spirit knows lots of things that I don't know. But I will expect that I will then be able to come and pray with my understanding. That same mechanism that happens through the gift of tongues and interpretation can happen when I'm praying in tongues. That as I'm praying in tongues, I begin to understand some of what's being poured out of my spirit. And my mind begins to catch up. And that's a wonderful way of being led by the Holy Spirit and discipled by the Holy Spirit. So I want to give us very, very briefly, I want to give us three areas. I've kind of touched all of these already, but I just want to kind of hit them all together. By the way, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, you have kind of all three kinds of ways that the tongues is used. You have you have praying in the Spirit, you have tongues and interpretation, and you also have another reference, in fact, the only other reference to tongues being a sign, which sounds quite confusing in the way that Paul says it, because, you know, he says, if everyone's speaking in tongues and an unbeliever comes in, they'll think you're mad. But by the way, tongues is a sign to unbelievers. And you think, did you get that the wrong way around? Because he says, but if you prophesy, their hearts will be laid bare and they'll turn. So, and it's kind of like, no, actually, the mechanism might be that tongues makes them think you're mad and prophecy makes them hear the gospel. But he's saying that tongues is still a sign for unbelievers. And prophecy is a sign for believers. Isn't that interesting? Every time you prophesy, what does it remind you? It reminds you that God has poured out his Spirit on all flesh and your sons and daughters will prophesy. It reminds us that we're living in the age of the Spirit. But anyway, here are three things. Three things that tongues are supposed to do and why I believe God wants all of us to experience that. First of all, what we've said already, speaking in tongues builds you up. And the idea here is this, it's the language, the word house is buried in that word for building. It's this idea of building a house. You're building the inner world of your life. You are building you are adding energy and resources to that building of the inner spiritual life, of what it actually means for us to come to maturity. It's a spiritual exercise that is strengthening your inner world. And it's a means of God's grace to us to help bring us to maturity. Okay, it's part of the means of God's grace to bring us to maturity. Here's the other thing about tongues, like all the other gifts of the Spirit, they will cease when Jesus returns. they have a use-by date, and the use-by date is the return of Jesus. So, you know, let's make the most of all that he's given us because they're designed to work in this present age, in this present world that we find ourselves. And fundamentally for me, that's why I am utterly convinced that God would not withhold this gift from any of his children. And so if you've wrestled with that, if you've wrestled with, well, maybe it's not for me, and you know, there is that verse in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe it's for you. And I believe that God wants to impart that. And I remember it's probably nearly 2 years ago when we went through the Hebrews 6 foundations and Paul and Pat talked about baptism in the Spirit and they talked about their experiences of that and how Pat, it was kind of, I was shocked to find that Pat's experience of the Holy Spirit was all flash bang and everything kind of all in one go. And that Paul was a more kind of measured over a period of time and then received the gift of tongues while he was alone in his bed. Well, I don't know if anyone else was shocked about the different. I know it's, but it was a wonder. But I love that because they're a sign to us. they're assigned to us, that the Holy Spirit will work differently with different people. There is no one pattern that you have to conform to. Okay? You don't get more blessed if when someone prays for you, you fly across the room. Okay? You're not receiving any less of the Holy Spirit if there's no physical manifestation. It's not to do with those things. That's often much more to do with us than it is the Holy Spirit. Don't ever kind of go after the manifestation. Because in going after the manifestation, you'll often miss the substance. You'll miss the reality. But neither be afraid of it, because if God's working, God's working. But I do believe it's for all of us. So it's about building ourselves up. Secondly, it's about helping us pray. So we've already read 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What will I do? I'll pray with my spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. Here's Romans 8. Some of you have already gone there in your minds, I know. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, I don't think he means tongues when he says groanings. I think he probably means groanings. And the context, of course, is he's talked about groanings as a woman in childbirth, and that's the bringing forth of the new creation. So the idea that prayer can be a groaning for something new to be brought into the world from heaven. But he says this: he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So here's a wonderful thing. When you pray in tongues, it is impossible to pray outside of the will of God. Isn't that amazing? It's impossible to pray outside of the will of God, because it's a cooperative partnership with the Holy Spirit, and he is the lead partner, and he is leading you to pray the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, it's effective whether or not you understand it. It's effective whether or not you understand it. Now, by his grace, God often gives us insight into what we're praying. And actually, that's also part of how he, obviously, that's kind of gone on to the third idea of what I want to talk about. I want to say one more thing on this before we do that, which is finally discovering the will of God. But praying in the Spirit is praying with the Spirit. Yeah, praying in the Spirit is praying with the Spirit. It's being led by the Holy Spirit in our prayer. Praying in the Spirit brings us into the realm of the Spirit. When we partner with the Holy Spirit and pray, he says, here, come into my realm. Come into this realm of the Spirit, which we are designed to live as part of the new creation. We're designed to live both in this physical realm and in the spiritual realm. That's who we are. But we pray in the Spirit, we can become more alive and more engaged with the realm of the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit also helps bring our minds under the control of the Spirit. So a little bit earlier in Romans 8, 5 and 6, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So praying with the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, is a way of adjusting and reprioritizing our desires. Isn't that amazing? That actually, and that's what prayer is all about, isn't it? Prayer is about shaping us to God's will. But as we pray in the Spirit, which includes praying in tongues, we are bringing a realignment to our own motivations and our own priorities and our own desires. Isn't that wonderful? I love the way that God changes our desire. Because, you know, he could just tell us, do my will, and leave us with all our natural desires. And the whole of life could be a battle and a fight and a struggle. But actually, the Holy Spirit comes and he molds and shapes our desires and our motivations. So that actually doing the will of God is also our top, uttermost desire as well. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the final thing I want to say that speaking in tongues will do, praying in tongues will do. It helps us find the mind and will of God. Praying in the Spirit is always praying the will of God. When you have a, like I said before, when you speak in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. And if your mind is not generating the thoughts and the Spirit is, again, we're beginning to get insight. We're beginning to get direction. We're beginning to get information. Here's effectively kind of the mechanism that's going on when we move in the gift of the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, is that some knowledge or wisdom or information that the Holy Spirit knows is coming into our own minds. You've heard me say this before about the word of wisdom, and I heard this from Kerry Jones many, many years ago. But he says the only thing you need to move in the word of wisdom is a belief that God has an opinion on everything. Yeah, the only thing you need to move in the word of wisdom is to believe that God has an opinion about everything. And so, if you're faced with something, you say, "Well, I'm sure God has got an opinion on this." You can say, "Holy Spirit, what's God's opinion on this?" And whatever, maybe it's through speaking some time in prayer, maybe it's through speaking in whatever it might be, but the Holy Spirit will enlighten that to you. Yeah? I think often we would move in some of the gifts like wisdom and knowledge and the gifts that are, and discernment. The gifts that really are much more about being used out there than in here. I'm sure we would move in those gifts much more frequently if we just much more frequently said to the Holy Spirit, "What's going on here?" and actually engage with the Holy Spirit and say, "You know, Lord, what's going on here? There seems to be a missing piece of information that I need." He says, "Great, I can do that. It's called the gift of knowledge. Here it is." Even just the answer to what's going on here. The answer to that is the gift of discernment, isn't it? You say, "Well, this is what's going on. This is what you can't see. These are the motivations that you're unaware of. I'm going to show them to you so that you know how to respond." The practice of praying in the Spirit and then praying with your understanding is incredibly powerful. And I think it was November, I was asked to do an evening of equipping people in the prophetic gifts in the church in Cardiff. And we had about, I think it was probably about 120 or so people in the room on a Wednesday night or Thursday night, I think it was. And we had everyone in the room multiple times praying in tongues and then praying with their understanding. And people found some really interesting things. And I always find really interesting things happen when you do this. That you start, sometimes they're praying, they'll switch from tongues to English, and they'll pray things that perhaps they've been praying about for a long time. And sometimes you'll do it and it's something totally different. And then you'll find that actually you're doing it together and a whole bunch of people end up with very similar things that they're praying. So the Holy Spirit loves to kind of instruct us in that way. But what I find is, because Paul says, all tongues have meaning, all tongues therefore can be interpreted. They don't have to be, but they can be. And if we ask the Holy Spirit, he will often say, "Well, this is what your spirit was praying." And you find it because you just continue that same prayer, but now it's in English. And I encourage you to do that. Take some time and do that. Take some time, pray in tongues, and then just go, "Holy Spirit, give me the power to interpret." And then just carry on praying. See what comes out your mouth. Yeah. I have hardly ever found that it was, you know, a load of rubbish that people were praying. It just doesn't happen. It's a great way of learning more about what the Spirit knows and how we find the mind and will of God. And like I said earlier, your spirit knows mysteries that your mind doesn't know yet. And when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking God's eternal purposes into the realm of the Spirit. And you're creating an environment for the prophetic word to come. Which is why sometimes when you speak in tongues and then you begin to speak in English, you don't pray at all. You start prophesying over your own life. Anyone ever experienced that? You prophesied over your own life? Yeah. Not many. Okay. This is going to be a... We'll pick this up another time because that's... But here's the thing. There is always more of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when I go places and I talk about the Holy Spirit and I talk about tongues and I talk about prophecy, and some people will say, well, the way you're talking about it, it sounds like you think I must have some kind of a deficiency in my experience of God. And I say, yes, I do believe that 100%. And they look shocked. And I go, because so do I. There is a deficit between my current experience of the Holy Spirit and what God intends for me. Yeah? And I think that will be true right up until the end of my life. not because I'm somehow failing, but because God does continue to increase our capacity. But if there are things that you haven't experienced, you know what? The church at large spent centuries going, well, if I don't experience it, it can't be of God. And God kind of finally broke in on the church in the beginning of the 20th century and said, no, look, all this stuff you read about in the Bible is still for today. The truth is there have been Christians that believed that and experienced it all down through the centuries in between. But there'd been a lot that hadn't and had theologized it away. Said, well, it can't be for today because I don't have it. That is a very bad way of developing your theology. Yeah? The Bible tells me this is for all believers for the whole time between when Jesus ascended until he returns again. And so today, we've already asked the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh. But today, he is still in the business of filling us afresh, of imparting gifts we haven't yet experienced, of empowering us and equipping us to do things we've never done before. And all it requires from us is a desire. What does it say at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14? Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Especially that you might prophesy. We'll have to talk about prophecy on another Sunday. But eagerly desire. And if while I've been talking, there's been an eager desiring coming in your heart, then we've got our prayer team this morning is Hannah and Jacqueline, but then also Chris and the elders and the one elder's wife that's in the room, Patricia, I'm recruiting you. We're going to be available once the meeting finishes, and we would love to pray with anyone that wants to receive anything more of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you'll say, I don't even really feel like I've ever really received that empowering of the Holy Spirit. Well, great, we'll pray for you. You're going to receive that today. If you're saying, I've never spoken in tongues, we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit fills you afresh and imparts the gift of tongues to you and give you the power, like it says in Acts 2, that he will enable you to speak. Doesn't force you. That's one of the things you find is you actually have to open your mouth and engage your vocal cords, but he will empower you. The power is not coming from you. It's coming from him. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for all of us now, and then we'll finish our time together, and then we'll probably have some folk here and over there, maybe we'll split from on the two sides, those that want to be prayed for. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you that you give the Holy Spirit to those that you love. Jesus, I want to thank you. You're the one that pours out the Spirit without measure. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that you come as a mighty rushing wind, as fire, as wind, and as water. You come in such dynamic ways into our lives that there's nothing static. And Lord, just as your mercies are new every morning, so is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask for all of us that we experience that every day this week. That Lord, we go into the world full of you, full of your presence. Lord, that as we were praying earlier, that we experience your presence in new places and in new ways. Lord, that you empower us in situations that we've perhaps dismissed in the past, but now we're saying, Lord, I want to see you. And even in the mind's eye of many who are picturing right now those places where you are going to presence yourself, where they've not experienced before, the people, the situations. Lord, I pray that you would do that, and Lord, that we would have the boldness and the courage to step in and take those opportunities. Lord, that we wouldn't pull back, but we would know that you're in this and you're doing this, and it's not in our strength, but it's in yours. And so, Lord, we just lay our lives afresh before you, Lord, and say we're vessels for the Master, Lord. We're the clay, you're the potter. Increase our capacity, fill us afresh, cause us to overflow to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.